Hey, good morning. We are learning the Sefer Zera Kodesh for Parshas Vayishlach. For Parshas Vayishlach, the Rav Shitzer shares with us a thought. I think every person can apply this in their life. It's something we need to hear. It's not a complicated idea to hear, but it's certainly a complicated idea to apply. But I will say that this is a very Hasidish Torah, in the sense that this is a very Hasidic way of looking at the world. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and Yaakov sent messengers to his brother Esav, telling him a lot of things. And one of the things he says to him at the beginning of the parsha, he begins with, Im Lavan Garti. I lived with Lavan. Va'echar Adata, and I've been tarrying, I've been away for a while. So, why does Yaakov open with Im Lavan Garti? I lived with Lavan. So, a very famous Rashi says, Garti, I'm going to read the whole Rashi, because he's going to analyze the wording of Rashi. Lo nasesi sar v'chashuv, I was not made into a minister of anything or anything special. Eloger, I'm a stranger. So, Im Lavan Garti, what are you upset with me? I got nothing. You shouldn't hate me, al berchas avicha, for the blessings of your father, shibrechani, because he blessed me. Have a gevir la'achecha, you should be the master to your brother. Shavelo niskaima bi. So it didn't happen, so what are you upset about? That's all the first approach in Rashi. We're going to focus on the second approach in Rashi. Davar acher, a second explanation. Garti bigamatria Taryag. Garti, Gimel Reish Tav Yud, is the same letters as Taryag, 613. Kolomar, I notice those words, Kolomar, we'll talk about this soon, is a word that Rashi doesn't use very often. But whenever Rashi does use it, it means that you need to truly analyze this and see that what I'm about to tell you is likely different than what you think the explanation is. So Kolomar, here's how you should read it. Im Lavan Harasha Garti. I lived with Lavan Harasha. And still, the Taryag Mitzvos Shamarti, and I kept all 613 Mitzvos, Velo Lamadati Mima'asav Haraim, and I did not learn from his evil ways. That's Rashi. Says the Rav Shitzer, quoting Rashi, Upirish Rashi, Rashi translates, Garti b'gematria taryag, kalomar, im lavan garti, I lived with lavan, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti, and I kept all 613 mitzvahs. Lahavin kefal lashon shepirish Rashi. What we're going to talk about is, why does Rashi repeat himself? Rashi says, what does it mean, im lavan garti? It means, im lavan garti, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. Again, what does it mean, im lavan garti, I lived with Lavan? It means, im lavan garti, I lived with Lavan, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti, and I kept the 613 mitzvahs. That's a repetition. The words themselves of the pasuk, of the verse, are im lavan garti, I lived with Lavan, which you should translate as, and I still kept the 613 mitzvahs. Rashi wants both parts to be part of the translation. Im lavan garti means, I lived with Lavan, and also im lavan taryag, and I kept the 613. Like, they both need to be true at the same time. Rashi seems to be repeating what it says in the pasuk. Why does he have to repeat? Just say im lavan garti means taryag mitzvah shamarti. You don't have to say im lavan garti means im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. Okay. Gam kamanis Rashi betevas kolomar. We know whenever Rashi uses the word kolomar, ki ilu balachadish davar chadish. Rashi is trying to tell you something new. Generally, when Rashi uses the word kolomar, it means, you think it means one thing and it really means something else. So what is changing here from what we think the meaning is? Okay. Raku aderach shvirashti akosov. So he's going to explain this based on a pasuk in Tehillim. This is the first pasuk in Tehillim. Adar shepirashti akosav, as it says, Ashrei ha'ish, fortunate is the man, asher lo halach v'atzas v'shayim, who does not go in the ways of the wicked, v'chulu, etc. Ubamoshav leitzim lo yashav. And he doesn't sit with the gatherings of scoffers and clowns. Rather, kim besoras Hashem chafzo. Should be someone who desires the Torah of Hashem, uvesoras so, and in his Torah, yehageh, he will study yomam v'layla, day and night. Shelechora hapach mikatsa lekatsa b'lima mutza. It seems like you're jumping from one end to the other end with no in between. Meaning, fortunate is the person who doesn't hang out with clowns and scoffers and monsters and terrible people. Rather, he's a tzaddik, he's in the base medrash. That's extreme to extreme. Sheyomar she'ena rasha gomor. He's not a terrible, wicked person. Rak tzaddik gomor. But he's the biggest tzaddik, gadol v'kadosh, great and holy. How do you go from one end to the other end? For yusak lomar, it would be better to say al tzaddik. When you talk about a tzaddik, you say, she'eno benini. He's not a regular person. Rak tzaddik, just be fortunate is the person who doesn't waste their life doing nothing. Rather, they do a lot. So that's going from the middle. But saying fortunate is the person who doesn't do the worst things in the world, but rather he does the best things. V'lama hischol kam b'katsa ha'achas. So then why does it start with the other extreme end? She'rachag ma'od mi'derach zeh ha'kodesh, which is so far from holiness. You should say, fortunate is the person who doesn't waste his time, instead goes to shul. Fortunate is the person who doesn't commit murder, but instead goes to shul. That's extreme. Rak Yuvan, so Gabis can be all understood. Al pi Amram Zal, our sages teach us, Ezo Chacham, who is considered wise? Halomed Mikal Adam, someone who learns from every person. Shenamar, how do we know this? Because there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti. From all of my teachers, I became wise. It means he had multiple teachers, many teachers. Every person became his teacher. Ulahavin, so I have a question. Ech Yilmod Mikal Adam? Are we really? Is that what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos wants us to do? Is to learn from every person? Imkein, Yilmod Chas V'Shalom Imaisi HaRasha Gamkein. So then maybe you should go to a bookstore and buy some autobiographies written by criminals, and then you'll learn from them. Chas v'shalom, right? V'gam, and you'll notice because of Amar, the verse that we quote from Tehillim doesn't say I learned from every person. Rak mikol malamdai, from all of my teachers, I became wise. Veloni kol adam, not from every person. So why does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it's the first sikkah on the parsha, why does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos say that you have to be lomed mikol adam, learn from every person? Okay, so again, we have a new approach to life here that's going to be introduced. Now, ki be'emes, the truth is, tzarech ha'adam lilmod gam mima'asei harasha. We are supposed to learn from the behavior of a wicked person. Adar shekasu b'sifrei Musar, as it's explained in Divrei Musar, in the books of Musar. Sheyilma the Adam Arishayim, you know what you can learn from the wicked? Eich lo yishnu im lo yoreu, they don't sleep if they haven't caused some kind of harm yet. V'nigzal ashnasam im lo yachshilu, and their sleep is stolen from them if they have not stumbled. Machmas shetavasam bo'er b'kirbam b'ma'od ma'od, because people who are indulgent are and desirous, such people, they must fulfill their desires, and they can't go to sleep if they haven't fulfilled their desires. They feel disappointed if they haven't accomplished their pursuits in any day. And so, if you don't go out, I guess he's saying you could, you have to go out into these places, and you see 3, 4 in the morning, people are still up, doing stuff. What are they doing? They're partying. Why? Because you have to eat, drink. Because who knows what happens tomorrow? Says the Rav Shitzer. They're teaching you. They're teaching you what a human being is capable of. If it was a party, you could invest that much time late into the evening until you've accomplished whatever you need to accomplish. That people, so that person should say to themselves, shouldn't I learn from them? There's a halacha by, since we're holding close to Hanukkah, there's a halacha by Hanukkah that you're supposed to have the candles burn at Shetichla Regal Min Ashuk, until, you know, people are walking in the streets. So they say that the Brisker Rav, when he was living in Bnei Brak, so he would find out. I think it was Bnei Brak. He would find out when the theater ended its last show, because you have to keep your Hanukkah candles burning till then. So that's from a halachic perspective. Maybe there's a deeper lesson, because Hanukkah is about dedicating ourselves to the learning of Torah. To say, look how late these people are willing to go out to hear a shir from some famous actor. So then, you know, why do we suddenly have these time limits? So these are the kinds of things that we should be learning. And to the light, the murderer will rise up. The Ein Noef, Shamra Meshef, and the eye of the adulterer guards the night. The Chalatach Bulos. But also the strategies. When people get a desire for something, they want to do something. They want to climb the tallest mountain. So have you met someone or seen any of the people who climb Everest? The level of dedication to that. So you should say, "Nu, so I can finish Shas." All right, that's a Mount Everest. So a person should say to themselves, look, these people are running after things and investing so much effort and so much of themselves that they're putting into nothing. We're here in this world to accomplish, so how we should learn from them how much you're actually capable of. This is an interesting thing to think about, because we tend to, even in our Yiddishkeit, try to fit things into our comforts. You know, Shabbos ends too late, so suddenly, you know, and Shabbos ends too early, can't eat shell shooters too, right? That's a good example. But you know, all these things. Suddenly we have limitations. B'chala tachbulas, all the tricks, osim, that they do. Lamalas ritzona yetzer hara, to fulfill the will of their evil inclination. V'tavasam hara, and their evil desire. Mizeh yilmod, from this a person should learn. Echlasos tachbulos, how you too should develop strategies. And to strengthen yourself in the service of Hashem. B'ma'at shenos, a little less sleep. Ma'at tenumos, well, based on psukim, a little less slumber. B'chol minei izgabris, an overpowering use. Make yourself stronger. B'zeh she'amru, that's what our sages mean. Halomed mikal adam, doesn't mean you learn anything and everything from any person, but it means you can learn something that can help you from every person, al derech hanal, and b'zeshen nemar mikol, from all, perish mikol minei tachbulos, from any kinds of strategies, b'nei adam, of people, etzarchem letavasam, which they use for their needs and their desires, mizeh melamdai hiskalti, those are my teachers that I learned from, shemikol zeh hiskalti la'atzmi, I learned from myself, limud, to learn, derech away la'avodasi yizbarach shemot to serve Hashem. I think this is the principle that this is going to be built on. And this is based on the concept of an idea that every person should know and really take to heart, because I think this is mamish, one of the most important concepts as a person goes through life. We make the mistake sometimes of thinking that a person is given, let's say, 120 years to live, that of each day, 20 hours are throwaway hours. And then there's 4 hours of the day that are used for accomplishing holy things for Gan Eden. So let's say the hour total a day that I spend on davening, or 2 hours, if you go to the Red Shul, total a day that you spend on davening. So that's sort of banked for Olam Haba. And then, you know, I had a shir, so that's another hour. And then, you know, brachas here, brachas there. Someone knocked on the door. I gave him tzedakah. This, if you put it all together, that's a total of another hour. So, Baruch Hashem, from those 24 hours, I've got a solid 4 hours of mitzvahs. So that's the wrong perspective in this life. You're given 24 hours, you have to use 24 hours. But you're not supposed to use all 24 hours for the tariag mitzvahs in the literal sense of giving tzedakah all day long or learning Torah. I mean, if you could learn 24 hours a day, but we're not built that way. We're not built that way. And even if in theory, potentially, you get there, you'd have to spend years working your way up to be able to do that. So you can only do learning a certain amount of hours today. You can do a certain amount of davening today. But the rest of the time is just as valuable. Every second of your life, you're either being Ovid Hashem or you're not. And if when your person is working, and the person's working and they're doing their job and they're being honest in business and they're being faithful to their trade and they're being honest with their words and they're being pure in their mind and careful with their words and etc. That's all mitzvahs. That's tariag mitzvahs. That's olam haba. That's Gan Eden. I'm not doing it for Gan Eden. I'm just saying it counts. It counts. It's all part because otherwise, why would Hashem have put you into this situation? You think Hashem gave you 120 years of life and said, I want you to accomplish 5 years worth of stuff with it? So it's Hashem gave you this work all day long, and that's also when you come up to Shemayim and they're going to play the video of your life and go through it step by step. They're not just going to skip to the shul part. They're not going to go from shul to your next avera to your next mitzvah. Every second of your life is analyzed. Did you make the right decisions right now? Did you handle the situation correctly? Were you being honest? Were you being positive? Were you being happy about life? Were you trusting in Hashem? There's shesh mitzvahs tmidios, as the Chinuch writes. There's six mitzvahs that you're never free from. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, you always have the opportunity to fulfill these six mitzvahs and the obligation all day long. And so when you're going to work, and let's say you're in a situation where you go to work and you're not working within a firm environment necessarily. Right? You have a regular job and this, you encounter people. So those people could be negatives in your life, and most of the time they are. Even if they don't drag you down a lot, they're being in presence of people who are not serious about life, being in the presence of people whose life has very little meaning, can have that negative effect on you. And so it can bring a person down if he allows it. But on the other hand, you can go to work and all day long be learning. Learning how to be, learning from people. If you see a person who stays late after work for an hour because they want to accomplish. So if a person has one daf left in the Masechta, he's going to stay the extra hour to finish whatever your example is. The point is that you can learn from all people in all situations. And once again, the point I'm making, every moment of life is important as a moment in Avodas Hashem. And this is the element of this that I say, that's not the Hasidish part of the Torah. That's Torah. That's everyone agrees with that. Everyone says that. The Hasidic element of it is the emphasis on looking at and analyzing specifically the people who do terrible things. And to recognize that drive is there, it's in you too. They're not gifted with special drives. It's just if you want something enough, you live that way. So what do you want enough? That's what you're supposed to look at. That's what you're supposed to see. So when they see, in a certain way, it's interesting that there are some. A person may say to themselves, well, if that's true, then I should live amongst the worst people. Right? I should go to Sodom. I mean, they've been removed already. But find the equivalent today. Go there and live there. And that way I'll be the biggest tzaddik. So the answer to that is, we don't look for challenges. Meaning, don't worry, Hashem's already got enough of that stuff presented for you. You don't have to add more. In life, you're going to go through, you're going to encounter people who are good, people who are bad, people who are terrible. You're going to encounter people who have whose life has meaning, and you're going to encounter people who have yet to find the meaning that they'd like to put into their life, and you're supposed to learn from all of them. You don't have to arrange it. It will come to you. I mean, I don't know if he would agree according to this Torah. It could be that if you would live in a community that's only Jews, then that would be a problem. You would lose this. You would lose the Ashrei Ha'ish that he's describing. Although I'll tell you that even in such a community, there will be young boys who are still working their way back to yeshiva who are hanging out at 3 a.m. So you learn from them. Right? There's always... There's always people to learn from, and Zeshenemar, that's what the Pasuk means. Ashrei ha'ish, fortunate is the person. Asher lo halach b'hatzas v'sham, who doesn't follow in the ways of the wicked. And we said, go all the way to the other extreme. Ki im b'toris Hashem chafza, rather studies Torah all day. So remember, he asked, that was an extreme. You're not supposed to say, fortunate is the person who doesn't do the worst averis, but instead does the most averis. Pirish, here's the pshat. Fortunate is the person who does not, ashlo halach bein arishayim, who doesn't go amongst the wicked to party with them. Rak letachlis atov hazeh, but he goes amongst the wicked so that he could study Torah all day. Right. It's because he desires the Torah of Hashem. Wrote a little mode mayhem, so he wants to learn from them. Matachbulos, strategies. Lavodasa yizbar shema. It's hard to know how literal he wants you to do this. Like, should you walk through those neighborhoods where people are doing crazy things in the middle of the night so that it will inspire you and say, okay, I can also do this late at night? It seems like a lot. But, yes.
Someone who's partying all day and giving into all their indulgences versus someone who wants to be disciplined, it seems like it's the opposite. Not, what are you emulating? The fact that they're always giving into their indulgences and you want to always not give in.
Yeah, your point is great, meaning that generally speaking, if you ask most people, they would tell you that they're going with their indulgences as the easy choice. Right, they're just giving in. They're just giving in to their desires. So if that's the case, then that's easy. You learn from it. But the response to that is that actually, in some ways, yes, but actually the people who are really indulgent, in other words, you're describing only semi-indulgent people. People who are really indulgent actually work very hard. They work very hard to accomplish their desires. Because, yeah, just to get the simple desires in the world, you can just easily and you sort of give in. But to be an indulgent person, to be up in to the middle of the night, that requires effort. Right? That requires, if they have to pay for it, then they have to have a job, and they'll work the next morning to be able to pay for their indulgences through the night. Right? And they don't have trouble waking up for their job in the morning. So how can it be that a person stays up late and then has trouble, with chakras and things like that? So that same kind of question. But the answer to what you're saying is just that actually, yeah, it's much harder to be properly indulgent, to be the Moshe of Leitzim, to be someone who is an accomplished in hedonist, would have to work very hard to get there. And that's what he's saying. You can learn from that. But also to acquire specific desires. So if a person would just say, okay, what's available, I'll take it, they don't settle for that. That's how people start in the world of indulgence. But after a person has indulged in whatever is available in their city, then they need whatever indulgence is available in other cities. And then they start traveling the world. And they're researching. People will research their tithes with more scrutiny than they'll research their mitzvahs. So that's nothing against food, right? But there's people who have professional food eaters who they criticize food, they talk about food. These people, it's very hard to make it to all these places in the world to try all these things. So why are they doing it? Why are they working so hard? For the few likes and the listeners and viewers and all of that, they're traveling all over the world. Yeah, it's an honor, it's a pride. People turn to me for real information. They need to know whether this steak in this particular restaurant in Central Africa is just the right way. So people work hard. So the only way you're looking at the wicked and you're studying and analyzing the wicked is to learn their ways. Not because you want their ways. And he's repeating the same point over. I think it sounds like he already made the point, but now he says more because I think the idea is whenever a sefer, especially a sefer like the Zohar Kodesh, whenever they find that there's a point that people really need to hear, so even though they've said the point, they're going to say it again, right? V'zeh ha'inyan ha'yos Yaakov etzel Lavan haramai. So he says, this is actually what was happening when Yaakov was living in the house of Lavan ha'Arami, Lavan the Ramai, the trickster. Shehichlif es maskurto, aseres monim. He changed the wages, he changed the deal 10 times or 100 times, as Chazal tell us. V'chol mine tachvulos. You have to understand that Lavan did not just show up one day and say, Yaakov, I've changed my mind. I was going to give you all the animals on the right side, but instead I'm going to give you all the animals on the left side. That's not, you can't just show up and say, I changed my mind. Yaakov would say, we had a deal. Right? You see, Lavan didn't just say, I changed my mind, I gave you Leah. He says, L'yasechem bimkomeinu. What do you mean? No, I'm giving you Rachel. Just in order to give you Rachel, you don't understand, this is how it works in our city. You have to take Leah in order to have Rachel, because otherwise you can't have Rachel. So Lavan is a trickster. And he's going to explain to you how you're wrong about your complaints. Right? When I come to Lavan and I say, I gave you a dollar, you gave me these grapes, and they're sour. So he tells you, no, they're not sour. They're not sour. They're special. They're organic. Right? They're special. They're gluten-free. That's why. And I say, what are you talking about? They're just great. He's going to tell it. You know, I'm the grape grower. And I'm telling you, no, it's a thing. It's a special thing. These grapes, I know they're sour, but they were supposed to be sour. So then I say to him, if they're so sour, you go back and forth. So you have to learn from people like that. That's how Lavan used his... That's the tricks that he... So every time he changed Yaakov's wages, he had an explanation. And he did this 100 times. Because his brain was wily and sneaky and he was a trickster. And sometimes he's just a trickster for the sake of being a trickster. As the story is told, that the Al-Shech HaKadosh gave a long drasha on Parshas Vayetze. So the Arizal came to hear the Al-Shech's drasha on Parshas Vayetze. So the Al-Shech gave a long explanation of the different ways that Lavan tricked Yaakov. First he said like this, then he said like that. And the Al-Shech drew it all out from the verses. And the Arizal was listening with great intention and with a smile on his face. And at one point, the Arizal chuckled. And then the Al-Shech finished his shir. So afterwards, the Al-Shech went over to the Arizal and said, what was so funny about what I said? So he said, it wasn't just me who came to hear your shir. But Lavan, our grandfather, he came to hear the shir. He wanted to know. So he was listening to your shir and he kept nodding like, oh yeah, I remember when I said that. Oh yeah, I remember when I said that. But then at one point, the Al-Shech, you said something, and Lavan said, I didn't think of that. I should have done that. And so that's when the Arizal laughed. So, yes, please. If you're asking how did Yaakov understand Lavan's tricks, because in order to counteract them he had to be able to. The answer is because Yaakov is that smart. It's actually the Gemara. The Gemara says that Yaakov refers to himself as the brother of Lavan. Says the Gemara, he's not a brother. He says, no, Achiv ani beramaut. I'm also a trickster. Meaning Yaakov wasn't a trickster, but Yaakov was smart that he could understand all the calculations. So it's interesting that even though Yaakov is Achiv beramaut, that's what the Gemara says. I wouldn't use these terms myself. But the Gemara says that Yaakov says to Rachel, so what kind of tricks does he pull? So she said, well, he's probably going to replace me with my sister, that's for sure. That's the obvious one. So Yaakov says, okay, well, I'm smarter than Lavan. We're going to have simanim. I'm going to give you signs. And then Lavan won't be able to do it. Of course, Rachel gives the signs to Leah as one of the greatest acts of self-sacrifice in the history of the universe, right? To give your own sister. And so that's what ends up. But that the only reason why it worked is because Yaakov couldn't outsmart the goodness of Rachel, right? But otherwise, Yaakov was, and we're supposed to be that way. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan, it's a Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim, where the Mishnah discusses all these vessels, different instruments that con men and thieves use, because the question is, do they have the status of a vessel? So, for example, a staff that has a secret compartment inside, so is that considered a container for a vessel? So the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, we shouldn't really be teaching these laws, because we're teaching people to... But, he says, if we don't teach it, then people won't know how to protect themselves from... And the Gemara tells us that the Rabbi Yossi used to teach, he used to give a class on the stories of Sodom. So one day, he said in the shir, that how did the people from Sodom steal? How do you find where someone keeps their stuff? So there's a special fruit that was very expensive, and also very powerful smell. So they would give it to people to watch. Could you watch this for me? And please put it somewhere safe. And that way people would put it with their expensive stuff. And then you bring an animal that can smell that fruit, and then you can find where the person has hidden their stuff. So the next day, the Gemara says, there were 300 tunnels in the city of Tzipori. Right? The meaning that people were doing this in Tzipori. So that's where Rabbi Yossi lived. But the idea that we're supposed to, yeah, we're supposed to be cleverer than the Ramai. Right? We say Yaakov is Achiv Ramos. Yaakov wasn't a trickster, but he had to understand trickery. The members of the Sanhedrin had to know magic. Right? The members of the Sanhedrin had to know how to talk to the dead, even though they would never do it, because part of knowing. And also, the Torah fills you with this kind of wisdom. The Torah makes you that to be able to recognize these things. So the more Torah you learn, the more you understand the ways of people, and the more you understand how to use these kinds of strategies. So he's saying, Mihakol, from all these things, V'chei Mikolas Yosef shall love and Berishah, so everything that Lavan did, Mihakol Lamed Avinu Yaakov Mimenu, our father Yaakov learned from him, Derech La'avodasi Yisbarach Shem, a way to serve Hashem. Betachbulos, with strategies, bechachmas gedolos, with great wisdom. He says, a fascinating thing. What was Lavan's purpose in the world? What was Lavan existing in this world? Lavan has holy sparks within him. 600,000 souls he was trapping, which Yaakov takes out through the sheep, which we don't have time to go into. That was a different class which we discussed. But he's learning the process. How does Yaakov take all those holy sparks out of Lavan? By seeing the tools for holiness within Lavan's actions and taking them from him and using them for holiness. Every place that exists in the world has holiness in it. Hashem keeps it going, because it has a purpose. That purpose for its existence is what gives it life and what gives it Kedusha. So if a person is here, if there's a person, just a random person in the world, who's jogging by your window at 4 a.m., so you should know this person, he maybe has another purpose, their own purpose, but in your life, this person is there to tell you that someone could be up at 4 a.m., I mean, it could be he hasn't gone to sleep yet. Which is also an option, right? You can stay up late. But the point is that there's someone who's up at 4 a.m., which first of all tells you that 4 a.m. exists, but that someone's up then. That person is there, exists for you as a lesson. If you then say, okay, so I'm going to be better at, you know, using more time in a positive way, you've now taken that holiness. Maybe that person doesn't need to exist in your life anymore, and they can run a different street. Okay? And so that's what Yaakov is doing. Yaakov is drawing the holiness out of love and all the sparks by taking everything that he takes from love and turning that into a positive way of handling life. Kamoshi pirashti akasim, and that's what it means in the pasuk when the sons of Lavan say, "Miasher lavinu asa as kala kavod azeh." That Yaakov made all this honor by taking what's ours. V'chein pasuk also does a verse, "Ha'od lanu chelik v'nachla be'beis avinu." When Rachel and Leah said, do we even have a portion in our father's house? He explains this elsewhere. Both those lines mean that both the sons of Lavan and the daughters of Lavan recognize that what Yaakov hasn't taken the money from Lavan, but he's taken purpose from Lavan. The value, the meaning of Lavan's existence, which is here to, Lavan was here in the world to produce Rachel and Leah, and so Yaakov took to Rachel and Leah. Lavan was here to produce all these motivations and inspirations for Yaakov, and as Yaakov takes them, Lavan has less and less holiness and less sparks that he's keeping back. That was Yaakov's avoda, his work in the house of Lavan. V'zesha ramas kan le'esav, that's what he's trying to say to Esav. Im Lavan garti, with Lavan I lived, but gematria taryag, and Lavan equals 613, I'm sorry, taryag, garti equals 613. Pirish, it means, not the way everyone else learns, that I lived with Lavan, and despite living with Lavan, I still kept 613 mitzvahs. That's wrong. It's because I lived with Lavan. It's through living with Lavan, right? The things in your life that you think are obstacles to your avodas Hashem aren't. They are the means by which you can serve Hashem. And it's hard to say it like this, but your challenges in life, let me put it to you from a perspective that you'll see what I mean. If a person has a challenge in life, and they say to Hashem, take this challenge away from me. Again, we don't ask for challenges. You don't need to, because we get it without asking. Right, so get the challenge. Let's say you say to Hashem, Hashem, take this challenge away from me. After 120 years, the person will beg, give me 5 minutes to go back in the world and just face that challenge. Right. Because that's what we're here in this world, to face challenges. Right. Otherwise, we're all trying to bowl with bumpers. It's a bad metaphor, but that's all we're doing. We only want the easy ones. We only want the easy challenges. That's not how it works. But he's just saying, it's not true. You want the hard challenges too. Otherwise, you'll never get to the places you need to get to. If you don't spend 20 years in Lavan's house, we can't turn into a Yaakov Avinu. And that's what he's saying. That's what he means. It's not despite Lavan. It's because of Lavan. So, when a person has a person in their life, let's say a work, you have a person who's spiritually bringing you down, that's because that you're allowing that person to spiritually bring you down. That person is not bringing you down. That person is doing things which then allows you to bring yourself down. But in the same way, any person you're encountering, you could use that to bring you up. And that's the lesson of Yaakov and Lavan. He comes out of Lavan's house greater than he was when he went in. Right? You would think that Yaakov would just be protecting himself. No, you can climb wherever you are. So that's what it means. Pir she'imo va'al yado shalavan arasha. With him, through him. Taryag mitzvahs shamarti, I kept the taryag mitzvahs. Shalamadati mitzvah, I learned from him, from Lavan. Ech lehiz gabriel ha-yetzer hara, how I can overpower my evil inclination, b'tachbulos, with strategies. Zesh pirush Rashi, this is why Rashi adds that word kolomar. Kolomar means, I'm going to read this a little differently than you would otherwise read it. So, what's different? Is that usually we say, im Lavan garti, that im Lavan garti means with Lavan I lived, as in a negative. And I still somehow managed to keep 613 mitzvahs, so you better watch out, because you know, I have that merit. It says, no, im Lavan. Im Lavan means through Lavan. Garti, I attained the level of garti of 613. I didn't waste any time of my life. I didn't say there was on times and off times. My whole life was on time. 20 years of working for Lavan was 20 years of Avodas Hashem. When he sat through the heat and the cold and watched the sheep and helped the sheep and walked the sheep, it's Avodas Hashem. You're supposed to do that your whole life. Yes.
Do what?
Avodas Hashem.
There's someone, for example, a landlord who's a chevron,
and you have to respond to them, they don't want to fix things, they can't help you. How would you take that?
That's an example. A person lives in a building, and they have a landlord who is horrible. Horrible.
And everything you say is wrong.
So?
So how do you turn that kind of person you have to be with, you know, as they you have to deal with them, you know, and turn around the better? Be a trickster means you.
Yeah, no, let's take an example. Let's say a landlord is a good example. See them once or twice a month or when anything breaks. But during that hour that you spend with them, which is supposed to be 2 minutes but turns into an hour, they can ruin your whole month. So that's all because whoever it is approaching the situation as what I'd like should happen is like this. I'd like to hand my check, say thank you for the apartment, and go home. But this person won't do that. This person will say to me, you know, the neighbors said that you were making noise. Yeah. Why is he saying that? Why is he saying that? It's because he is upset over something. And when he's upset over something, he decides he's going to go address it. Do I address things when I'm upset with things? You know what else? Also, he's very straightforward. He talks to me about things that upset him. Are there people who I should talk to when I'm upset with? And furthermore, you know, he's telling me that the neighbors complained that I make noise. You know, do I make noise? Is this something I should think about for myself? And you know what? Am I considerate about neighbors? And in general, how should that be? How should neighbors be treated? Maybe I should be doing more. Maybe I should be taking out the garbage for my neighbors. I'm making stuff up. Right? But depending on the situation, Hashem says to you, let's say like this. Let's say you were, after 120 years, Hashem says, listen, would you like to try this world again? I'm going to put you for 5 minutes in with your landlord. It would be a totally different experience. Right? The person would say, oh, this is happening to me, and I'm going to analyze this and break this down. And so if that's true, maybe I shouldn't get too deep into an example because it limits that example. But take any situation and just roll with it, and there will be things that you can learn from the person and from the situation if we don't get caught up in our issues, which are first to jump forward. That the first things that happen when someone shouts at us is we immediately become defensive and we start shouting back instead of saying, well, 1 second, what's happening here? What's really happening here? Why is this person shouting? This person's excited about something. They're upset. Why are they upset? Do I get upset about these things? Are they upset? Why do they all get so upset?
And then I'm going to take off the subject because, for example, you know, Yaakov had the smarts how he did to make his animals be more fruitful than the other ones. That was really, you mean, I should help them. So when you have a landlord, for example, or a deal person, well, one broke too, that's your problem. You know,
yeah.
Your problem.
So Yaakov was so great that he faced the greatest trickster in the world. You're not going to face love on Haran. You're going to face someone on your level. Hashem is going to put someone, and saying it's not just someone on your level. They're specifically catered to you. Hashem said, I'm going to give you a life, and I'm going to put this person in your life who's going to give you this specific kind of tzaras, and you're supposed to analyze and break that. That's all part of, it's in the plan. It's not outside the plan. It's not like, yeah, I meant to live my life and learn Torah and all day, and then all these people are interfering with my life. They're part of your life. They're part of the script that was written for you, a part of your test. Again, after 120, a person is going to beg for all these challenges back just so that they can handle it properly. Like, what was I getting upset about? Right? That's part of what he's saying. We have to elevate this. Yes.
Now, my first, Yaakov always was quiet what he was going through. But when he left, he said, I was in the middle of the night, and he cared how he was pretty good working for Laban, even though his cattle was 3 days away from
right.
Laban. So he was very painful and very righteous man to take working, like you say, not even say shalom to no one. But right. He was taking care of Laban, and then what he said, I was working and I was doing this. He was in pain. I served him for 20 years, 14 for the daughters plus 6 for
right.
But it's like amazing how, because when we live with the veils, we see that Jacob was really in pain living there, and Hashem saw him.
Oh, that's already, yeah, that's already a Torah. But yes, this idea that Yaakov, not only does he, but he steps up and it takes such an extreme exactness and honesty that Yaakov, the Midah of Emes, even though he was with Laban Arami, We're saying it's not even though, it's because. It's because. In other words, you could never be as great as you could be in life unless Hashem gave you that landlord. And so you have to thank Hashem for giving you these step stools and ladders for you to climb in your accomplishments in this world. That's what he is. This world is not a vacation. It's here to work. So that's what he's saying. She'imu v'al-yadu through him. B'zeh shepirush Rashi kolomar, im lavan rashi gaiti, I lived with lavan, v'tarik mitzvah shamarti, I kept 613 mitzvahs. L'horis apirush zeh, this is the point he's trying to make. Shemirish asosha lavan, from lavan's wickedness. L'maditi, that's where I learned. Heichli zaher b'shmiras tarik mitzvahs, how to keep 613 mitzvahs. V'horil le'esav b'zeh. So what's he trying to say to Esav? Essentially, what he's going to say to him is like this. Esav, what do you really want? What does Esav really want? Esav wants to stop Yaakov from being such a tzaddik. That's really what he wants, right? All this hatred is because he knows that he's not doing the right thing and Yaakov is doing the right thing. And when we know that a person's doing the right thing and we're not, we hate them. That's part of the existence of anti-Semitism, is their recognition that Hashem chose Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov and their descendants and left them out, and it's very hard to join, and so they're upset about it. They don't like the Jewish people because of it. So that's what Esav wants, that Yaakov should stop serving Hashem. So says Yaakov to him, if you come here, if you take one step near me, I will learn from you, Avodas Hashem. Come, Esav, teach me some more how I can be closer to Hashem. Let me see your evil ways. Let me see how long you will pursue after someone you want to murder. How many miles through the desert you'll chase him. That's what I want to learn. So come, Esav, teach me how to be Avodas Hashem better. That's what he's saying. But Hor Esav, that's what he's saying to Esav. Shlo, yeah, Yachal is Gabriel. You think you're going to overpower me? Ulevatla mi avadasa yizbarach Shem, disturb him from the service of Hashem. Adarav, on the contrary, yimenach yikach raya echla avadas Hashem. If you come here, I will learn from you how to serve Hashem even better. Yes.
Esav wanted Yaakov to stop being in Hashem's way, because then the bracha of Esav was when Yaakov was out of order of a good way, you're going to be over him.
Right. Right. So the idea that's an excellent point, that Esav would then get the brachas in a way if Yaakov fell. So again, Yaakov saying to him, I'm not going to fall. You're going to come here, and you're going to bring all your inappropriate behaviors and speeches and words and influences, and you're going to bring it to me, and you think, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to learn from you, and we're going to become even holier. And maybe that's why Esav, no longer wants to challenge him. Right? Esav doesn't present his real face, because then he realizes, he goes to war with Yaakov, that Yaakov's going to be an even bigger tzaddik than he was yesterday. That's not what he wants. And this is true. You know, take an example. Like, we live in the United States of America. The United States of America wishes that all of its people should melt into the melting pot. That would be that's what they want. The fact that, you know, we maintain our shine and our glory even in this melting pot is an incredible thing. But you know what we have learned? You know what we could learn? Is that just like there, they want to accept everyone. Everyone should melt in together because we're all one people. Like the people of Shechem said to the sons of Yaakov, we'll be one people. So we can learn that within us, within the Jewish people ourselves, we should smelt ourselves into one people. Right? We should be Am Echad within Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, meaning we can be a nation, and so we can learn that from this country that we're living in. Maybe that's the lesson. Maybe that's why we were brought here, is that we should learn that you can bring people with all shapes and sizes and shades and bring them all together, and as long as you're of one people, you're one people, so the Jewish people too. Okay, Vizesh Amar Gamkin. This is why Yaakov says, Vayihili Shor V'chamor, I had an ox, I had a donkey. What does that mean? So he says very simply, Shor, the ox, b'chinas hakadosha, behema tahorah, that's the kosher animals. Chamor, I have a donkey, b'chinas haklipa tmeah, that's a non-kosher animal. What he's saying is, whether you're a shor and you're bringing me inspiration for mitzvahs, or you're a chamor and you're bringing me inspirations for averus, either way, it's going to lead me to more of the mitzvahs. And we find this, for example, I know the Lubavitcher Rebbe insisted that his talmidim, his chassidim, should not, the children should not play with non-kosher animals. And that's a position, again, who am I to... But certainly the other perspective of this is that on the contrary, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Havi azka namer v'kalka nesher, ratz katzvi v'gibor ka'ari." Of those four animals that we're supposed to learn from, three of them are not kosher. And the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, "Yizgaber ka'ari lamod avodas abori," supposed to rise up like a lion. Why? Because Hashem made all these animals and gave them midos and attributes that we can learn from, that we can learn from, we're supposed to learn from. That's why Hashem made these animals. The only reason why the lion exists is that we should do a better job waking up in the morning. That's why he exists. I mean, he represents many concepts, but that's what the lesson was supposed to learn. And the other attributes, you know, Aryeh's Gematria, Gevura, and the Malchus that we learn, and the fear that the other animals have, and you know, all these ideas are things that we're supposed to learn from non-kosher animals. In the same way, it was supposed to learn this from human beings, non-kosher human beings. We're supposed to learn lessons just like we learn from the lion. Yizgaber ka'ari, and also lamud lavod sabore, and you should learn from the lion to wake up strong for the service of Hashem. And you should learn from the indulgent people how late they have the strength to stay up.
You wouldn't let your kids play with the indulgent dolls.
Right, so there's a boundary, there's a limit, right? Like we said, you can't go into, a person can't go into places that are inappropriate places to be, you know, you go into places of drinking and places like that and say, I'm just watching and observing so I could take notes for my Musar Shmooz tomorrow. So that's not appropriate, but there's a balance, and like we said, you don't have to bring yourself places. They'll come to you. As you move through life, you encounter people and things that are negative and harmful. And yeah, if you introduce yourself to it, you make it even harder. Shigam klipas chamor, even the husk of the chamor, the klipa of the donkey. Hayili letova lavadasi is baruch shemo. Even that negative force, I used it for the good. Canal likach mimenu raya, to take proof. Lavadasi is baruch shemo. Ki gam miaklipa atzma, because even from the husks, from the forces of evil, yetzer hara, the evil inclination, yicholin lilmud avadasi is baruch shemo. We could learn how to serve Hashem. Aderach hanal, as I explained before, shenlokchin raya meesa yetzer hara. He repeats himself again. He's repeating himself because you can't hear this point enough times. Ech rodev achar adam tamid. Look at your yetzahara. It pursues you all the time. In the marpim man who doesn't give you a break, afilu rega achas klal klal, even one moment. Right? There was a person who famously argued that he had this one yetzahara, and he defeated it 100 times. How do you defeat the same yetzahara? That's how it works. Kach yilma da adam. So you should learn. Achlo yipam yavadasi yosmarshma. Every person has you start a project. You start a project and you fail. What do most people do? Give up. Your Yetzirah didn't give up. You remember that one time you had a desire to do something bad and you said no, and then you came back the next day? So why don't you come back the next day? Furthermore, Yaakov says, I have tzon, sheep. Gam kemor b'chinas ha-kedusha. Sheep represents holiness. Ketzon kadashin, the holy sheep of Sefer Yecheskel, which refers to really us. But also, v'avid v'shivcha, servants and maidservants. Bechinas aklipa, in the realm of the husks, hakol haya lo siyu al avodasi yizbarach, was all used for the service of Hashem. Megam le'esav amar ba'emes achikach, and that's why he says to Esav, ad asher avo al adoni seira, I will come see you in Seir. Shigami menu yilmod ech la'ovdo yizbarach shemo, that he will then come and learn even more, because Yaakov is going to say, I've exhausted all my lessons, all my teachers. So maybe I'll end up coming to you, Esav, and you can teach me some new ways in Avodas Hashem. The point of this is these sedras, these parashios, speak to each of us in our lives. And I think most of us have in our lives areas where we are Yaakov working in Lavan's house. We find ourselves in a place that we need to be, Hashem put us in that place, and negative influences. Either because the person is bad or the situation is bad, whatever it is that most of us consider things that pull us down in life, And somehow we have to not fall as badly as we should. Says the Rav Shetzer, you're missing the whole point. You were at level 10, and Hashem wants you to get to level 15, not 5. He didn't put you into this situation and say, don't lose all 10. Try to keep as much as possible. You're in this situation to grow. Every moment in your life is a moment to accomplish and to grow. Wherever you are, there is no b'di'evet situation. There's no situation that you're ever in that wasn't the place that you're supposed to be. As a person will say then, well, that's no fun.
Right.
And the answer to that is, well, life's not fun. I mean, it could be. You could spend your life on fun. That's the challenge. Or you could say, look how hard these people are working for having fun all day. Let me correct that. You're allowed to have fun, right? You're allowed to enjoy life. We believe that Hashem said, I want you to be me'aneg es ha-shabbos. Oneg means pleasure. You say, it's ein lamala me'oneg. There's nothing greater. Just pure indulgence and pleasure of a bowl of cholent on Shabbos. Many of the Baal Yitzhaiva wish that they had the satisfaction of a shul cholent after a rabbi's long speech. Right? But it exists. We have to take all that in, the pleasure in the world, but not in a way where that's the end. That's the difference. Not in a way where that's the end. That's never the end goal. If a person is being indulgent in this world, it's because he wants to do this, which leads to that, which leads to this, which leads to the service of Hashem. Everything becomes channeled towards the positive. And if a person can only take pleasure in personal things, then they have a problem. Right? So you have to be able to experience Avodas Hashem, and that's true of every moment in your life, the parts that are easy, the parts that are difficult, the parts that are obviously spiritually elevating, and the parts that seem like they're spiritually challenging. They are not where you're not supposed to be. There's nothing in your life that's ever happened to you that wasn't supposed to happen. Where you are is where you are, and that allows you to become the best possible person that you can be. Yes? Yeah, excellent. Let me repeat that. There's a minhag that many people have that they learn parshas Vayishlach every Motzei Shabbos. And there's some people who only do it if they're going to travel that week. But one of the ideas is exactly this point, that every person has a love on situation. And you can use it for your Avodas Hashem or use it to fall. And guess what? If you use it in the right way and you turn it into an Avodas Hashem, and so you accomplish your mission, you know what's going to happen next? You're going to get an Esav. Excellent. Then you're going to get an Esav. And then you can climb even higher. Your challenges in life are there for you to use. That's what the rupture is trying to say. It's not im lavan garti, despite living in lavan. It's only because I lived with lavan. We should be grateful for the challenges when we are able to overcome them, because they are there to elevate us. May all of us be zocha. We should overcome our lavans and our esavs and our paros and our hamans and our yevanim and all the other things that we need to overcome within us. We should recognize that every moment of our life is a moment for avodas Hashem, and with that, all of us will be zocha to la'olam yeshu aretz. Only good things.
Amen.
Recording stopped.